Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, as always. We open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Master Farad Muhammad, the true and living God who has come to us this day and granted us a mercy and reminder in the person of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names of love, Assalamu alaikum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com, and also formerly SalamJonah.com and SalamJonah.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my brother family, let me say to you all, Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful platform, bar none, for truth on the web. Welcome to the Star and Crescent Report, and our show today is titled, This Is It. We are living in the reset. Now, I want to talk to you all, and I want to thank those of you who support the platform and who have supported the platform as long as you've known about the platform. First and foremost, I want to give thanks to Almighty God for allowing the vision to come into fruition, and I'd like to thank Allah for blessing me to meet and to befriend brothers and sisters of like mind. I really, really thank you. Sometimes I don't thank you enough, but I want you to know that without you all, the show would not go on. Without you all, we could not progress. And thank you so much for everything that you do, whether it's words of encouragement, whether it's donations, whether it's letters, whether it's emails. I want to thank you all right here, right now, because this is a beautiful ride to have our eyes open in this day and time and to embrace the Lord of the world and his messenger and the message that they gave to us. This is a beautiful time and a beautiful ride for us all, and we got to stop taking this stuff for granted, because before you know it, it's gone and it's over with, and we're in something else. So we have to reappraise things. We have to reevaluate our standing in life. We have to go through a lot of things, and I just want to take the time out right now, right here. If I've never said it before, I'm saying it right now with all my love, all my passion, and all my heart. Thank you all for supporting this platform. Also, we have a new platform, which is called the Red Pill Diaries. And right now, I'm perplexed. I don't know whether or not to do the show just for members only tonight with Gregory Manorino, or to just broadcast it over Periscope, over Twitch, over YouTube, and then cut the video up later or whatever. I'm perplexed right now. But we'll see how it goes. And if we don't broadcast it as a public offering, it'll be for members of the Red Pill Diaries, and they'll be able to see or be able to interact or whatever like that. And I'll send the link out if we decide to do it that way. But for those of you who are listening, please join the Red Pill Diaries on Patreon. It's patreon.com/TheRedPillDiaries, The Red Pill Diaries. Go to YouTube and subscribe to The Red Pill Diaries, all one word, The Red Pill Diaries, all one word, because there are other shows up there similar to that, but The Red Pill Diaries, all one word, okay? Now, as the intro of the show was on, I was moving books around, and you may hear a lot of noise in the background because we are homeschooling, and my wife took my office area right now, and so I'm in the dining room, so you know this is where all the traffic goes through. So you will have to overlook the noise in the background, and maybe laughter, maybe a whole bunch of noise coming through. But I did not want to postpone this whenever they allow us to get on the air to do the Star and Crescent Report. I want to get on the air and do the Star and Crescent Report. But as I was saying to you all, as the show was coming on, I was moving books around, and as always, the law shows me certain things. And I moved the Mother Plane around, and then I was moving Fall of America around, and then my Our Savior Has Arrived opens up, and I take a look down, and I see something. It caught my eye, and I flipped the book over, and I said, no, I don't want to talk about that. I want to get right to the economic collapse. I want to get right to the military buildup. I want to get right to these things. But my eye just kept going down to a particular sentence in the book. And so as the intro was winding down, I said, here we go again. I got to talk about this. I got to bring this in, and maybe it will pertain to what we are talking about, because, brothers and sisters, we are in a time unlike any other time before, and I believe this is very pertinent to this time. On page 44, Our Savior Has Arrived. At the beginning of the book, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, in the first full paragraph, which is only two sentences, right, he says, we must know ourselves. We must know the nature of life. We must know the law of life before ever we can say that we are masters. Now, what does this have to do with the situation around the world and the situation in America? I see that some of us are still not recognizing the time. And listen, if you don't understand the time and what is to take place in this time, you are lost. I don't care how much you promote black empowerment. I don't care how much you promote black independence or separation. If you are not aware of the time, you are putting yourself and those who would hear you in jeopardy, because you're still not understanding your life, your position here in life, right? And you're not understanding the nature of life. Let me give you an example. I'm gonna tie all this into the economic collapse. I got the clips waiting. I got all this. But in life, some of us hope that people can be other than who they are. You know, I'm going to share something that took place with me a few days ago, okay? I'm going to share something with you. You know, my family and I, we're big into martial arts, you know. I've been in jiu-jitsu, judo, taekwondo, a little kickboxing, a little Muay Thai, Yoshikai karate. I'm getting into Cali stick fighting. I've just got done with Nabard combat, which is a modern version of Kung Fu. So I used to always tell my, because we were the only black family there, and I would always tell my children, no matter how everybody smiles at you, no matter how much they embrace you, always remember who you are dealing with, okay? Always. Because if you lose sight of who you are dealing with and you start taking people who are other than you as close friends, then you are setting yourself up for disappointment, failure, and disillusionment. I always tell them that, right? So the other day, you know, we suffered from COVID. We had been out of action for a while. And we go back to Nabard. And I noticed something was funny there. And I had already prepared my children for it. I told them, I said, listen, I don't feel like it's going to be right today. You know, we black people, we've been out for a while. You know, everybody else misses it a little bit. But they'll go for a week or a month or sometimes even years and come back. Now, this has everything to do with what we're living. The reset, I want to lay a base for you, okay? So pay close attention to me. So we go back in there, and I notice the people who normally are rockers and loud, they all of a sudden they walk to the other side of the academy, all of the other side of the academy. And I noticed that the master of the academy, he was talking to two people, then he comes over. He couldn't look me in my eyes because I had been texting him, and he didn't respond. The only time he would respond is when he wanted something, if he needed something. And so, He comes, he couldn't look me in my eyes. I said, Master, Who are you talking to? You need to look me in my face. What are you talking about? He's mumbling. I say, speak up. Now, here it is. You're a master of an academy. You can't speak up. You can't look me in my face. Because I'm a straight shooter, black man and black woman. Let me tell you, anybody knows me, know that I'm a straight shooter. I'm going to look you in your eyes. I'm going to tell you what it is. And it is what it is, whether you like it or not. Anybody knows me to tell you that. You know, that's just the way I was brought up. You know, and I don't think they make men and women like that too much no more, you know. This has everything to do with the situation that is going on in America today, and this has everything to do with the situation that is going on around the world, so pay close attention to what I'm saying. So, and I don't have to share this with you, but I'm doing this because I want you to understand how the time is. We go, no matter what we're talking about, we always are revolving around the time and what is to come and what must be done, okay? Now, so he was mumbling. He couldn't even get up. You know, the agreement that that you had with John and Walter, who were my first two instructors, and I had passed the level of when you pass the line one, you're pretty much a semi master or something like that. So my children and I, we're on line three, right? And he says, the agreement that you had with John and Walter, and then that you had with me, I'm no longer honoring agreement. This is coming out of a man who all he talks about is honor. I want you to understand this. All he talks about is honor. I said, what are you talking about, man? So my children, they dropped their stuff. They're going into the academy. They're going to practice and stretch and everything to get ready for sparring. They're getting ready to get it down. Especially my young girl, my 14-year-old girl, she's ready to get it down. You know, that's how she does. She does it like that. So on that note, she said, I'm now charging $147. I'm like, okay, you know, that's cool. I'm thinking he's taking the price down. For each, I told my kids, I said, every one of you right now, get your stuff, let's go, right now. And before you know it, I snapped on it, because I already knew what it was. But what I'm trying to show you is this. No matter, for some of you who have worked for a devil for 15 or 20 years, and he is giving you a bonus or he's giving you a raise, don't rely on these people. See, if I wasn't an independent guy, if I wasn't a true believer in God, if I did not take Elijah Muhammad's teaching seriously, I would have been hurt. I would have been crushed. I would have been feeling betrayed. You understand? But understanding the time and understanding who you're dealing with allows you, you know, to navigate these pitfalls. And if you don't have that now, and I'm just giving you an example of that, and while we were leaving the Cali instructor calls, hey, you guys are coming, you, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, see, when one want, one will. Yeah, we'll be there. We were already training. You see what I'm saying? You have to, what I'm trying to get to you, you have to understand who you are dealing with in this day and time, or it can be deadly. It can be a detriment, but it can also be deadly for the security of your life and the security of your family's life. We're living in a time where this man is losing everything. Now, I want to go back to something. The instructor of the academy, he's of Iranian descent, right? And I noticed that he would pose questions to me from time to time. I kept it to myself. And he was weighing, because he knew my name, and he was weighing on who I was. And I would answer him. And me, I'm a straightforward dude. I don't beat around the bush, especially when people are beating around the bush. First, I'll see where they're coming at. And then me, I just, hey, we don't, why are you asking that? Just ask me the question that you want to ask me. You know, that's how I am. And so he would ask me things. Then he would make references to the Shah. And he knew that he and I were on different sides, because he would bash the Ayatollah, but he would praise the Shah. And this is where but I knew what I was dealing with. A lot of you know what you're dealing with when you're dealing with the boss at work, when you're dealing with the political system, and then when somebody embraces you, you try to push that to the side and say, can't we all just get along? We're all the same, until he or she reveals themselves to you, then you want to go all insane on people. You better wake up to the time that we're living in. So this little paragraph right here, we must know ourselves. Who are you? You are the Asiatic black man and woman. You're the makers. You're the owners. You're the cream of the planet Earth. You're the fathers and mothers of civilization. And you're the God of the universe. You've got to embrace that in everything that you do, think, and say. You've got to truly believe that. It's not idle words, idle chatter. And you've got to know who you are dealing with. When we say the white man is the devil, we're not trying to make him out to be something that he's not. Because a devil is anything that is grafted from the original. And when you grab something or you take things through stages, it loses something of the original. Right? I'm not telling you something out of the order of science. Whenever you take something that is original and you put it through scientific tests and stages, it loses, in every stage, it loses a little bit of itself in the testing. This is true. And so when we say that, we are telling you what science demands us to tell you. And so, I tell you, it's hard to get this through Jimmy Lunchmeat, because Jimmy Lunchmeat wants everybody to be the same. When he sees or when she sees that the system is set up against you, when she sees and he sees that the organizations and the institutions are set up against you, when he sees and she sees that every level of power and every instrument to dominate and progress is in the hands of a few, you cannot tell me that America is not designed and set up for the benefit of white people. You can't tell me that. You cannot tell me that the global financial order or the military order or the political order of the day is not set up to benefit white people and to promote their agendas and to dominate non-white people. There is absolutely no way you can sit in front of me with a straight face and acknowledge and don't acknowledge that this is the truth. There's no way. All we have to do is look at the power structure. And we look at the beneficiaries of the policy of the power structure. You understand? And then we look at the ones in the mud who have been hurt and exploited by the power structure, the system, and the policies of those who dominate the power structure. And anyone with common sense, and in these days, common sense is not so common, would have to come to a reasonable conclusion that we're not all equal in the eyes of their laws, in the eyes of their structure, not even in their educational system. Right? You get, and this is not confined to America. Go to Russia today. Read some of the articles that they publish. They are condemning people who are woke, and they're trying to justify whiteness and condemn blackness in a sly way. You go read the articles. So for those of you who are in love with Russia today, they're doing it. This is a worldwide endeavor to keep white as the dominant race, to keep white as the dominant power, to keep white with dominant influence. This is. And this is why the world is headed towards war and collapse. Because so few have ruled so many with such injustice that this cannot go on in perpetuity. That's not how it goes. Science tells you that. When there's a sickness or when there's a germ that is overtaking the original has options. Either allow the germ to take over when you and the germ will eventually die, or set off your defense mechanisms to kill the unoriginal germ so that you can return to your normal state of good health. Right here, right now, 347-989-0855. And what I'm saying is out of the realm of science, prove it. Huh? 347-989-0855. 347-989-0855. I'm telling you something that we can prove, we can point to, we can touch, we can taste, we can smell, we can see, we can feel. You feel the boot of your oppressor on your neck? I don't have to tell you that. You feel the injustice of his policies when you drive your car and the police get behind you? Right? You feel the injustice of his policies when you're down to your last dollar and you're looking for a job or you're looking for a loan to start your own business, and they give every excuse for you not to get it. When someone of a lesser caliber, with lesser ideas, of a lesser color, goes in and gets it. And then they are allowed to go forth and spread their ideas on the back of money that was given to them, right? While you are caught up in the urban community, stuck and frustrated. You've been robbed of your right to rule your house, black man. You don't even rule your own house no more. This was by design, to destroy the black family. The power was usurped from the black man and given to the black woman. Black woman, don't get mad at me. I got to tell the truth. It was usurped. And the black man is feeling so hurt and so desperate, he don't know which way to go. And so he lashes out in violence against his own kind. You know why he lashes out? That I hate that nigga over there. Every rap song, I'll kill a nigga. I'll kill a nigga. You don't hear him say, I kill that devil. I kill that oppressor. In every rap song, I kill that nigga. Man, look at me. I kill a nigga. That's what they say. Why? Because they are mimicking those who are in power over them. That's the mindset. That is the atmosphere of the day. So we're living in a reset now. That's why God is breaking the back of America. Why America first? Because America is the most dominant, the richest, and the most influential power on the globe. And when God breaks America down, it stands as a sign to all of other nations who may want to buck up against God's power. Because no nation was able to go one-on-one and jostle with the superpower. So if somebody brings it to her knees, you got to submit to that some power or somebody that has the power to bring that one who thought that she was the ultimate power to her knees. So we're looking at a reset, okay? I hope you are listening to me good, brothers and sisters, okay? Let me bring something to your attention before we go into a clip, okay? Okay. According to Google definition, the word reset means to set anew or set again or to start over, to make complete changes, right? This is what it means. So for centuries, the Western world has dominated, and they had one of the greatest schemes ever. I mean, it was one of the greatest schemes ever to preserve their wealth, because they know with wealth comes power. With power comes influence, right? And so if we are considered the wealthiest nations, we are considered the most powerful nations. If we're the most powerful nations, then we have the most influence, even though we are the minorities of the nation. So how do we do this? How do we set up a system that guarantees us this right here, this right? And then we can proclaim directly and indirectly that we are indispensable people in that indispensable nation. Well, how do you do that? Come up with a monetary scheme. Right? I can't, what was that saying? I care not who sits in the White House or whatever. What I care about is who prints the money. All right? That's where the power comes from. So what these white people did, in Europe has little to no resources. Right? America, she has resources, but none in comparison to the likes of Africa. So they needed a mammary gland to suck off, to suck the resources and the free labor. So they demonized these people, and they exploited these people, and exploited the lands of these people, and stole the wealth. Bro, I'm telling you, some of you need to sit down and just examine what I'm saying. Examine these things and tell me whether or not I'm telling you the truth. I'm not making one thing up. So they go in there, They know they really don't have none. Let's go back to how they bought the state of New York, for instance, for $25. The state of New York. In these other lands, they knew the Indians couldn't speak the language. They wrote up documents in such a way to exploit the people. They handed them some paper. Paper. Nothing tangible, but paper. Then, because the Indians did not understand it, all they wanted was the John Hancock, and it was legalized under their laws. So the transfer of wealth and power and land took place. And then they robbed the Indians back of the $25 that they gave them. Through genocide, through warring. And you still, man, I'm telling you, you got to understand the beast that you're dealing with. That's why this is very important. We must know ourselves. We must know the nature of life. We must know the law of life before ever we can say that we are the masters, right? These people are succubuses. They are vampires. They are leeches. They are the exploiters of the people. And again, the monetary scheme, let's go back to this monetary scheme. So Africa has all these resources. So they go in and pretend like they're free, and they learn their walk, they learn to talk, they learn the lingo, they learn everything. They get amongst them, then they start killing them, robbing them, exploiting them, and making war on them. They learn their weaknesses. Then they go in and colonize the place. Take everything, then leave. When they pull out and say, oh, you have independence now, they leave a remnant of their own people in control of 80 and 90% of the farmable land, of the greatest resources. If this is not a plague on the people, you tell me what is. I'm talking to you. Talk back to me. You got to understand this. So they put up a paper scheme. Well, listen, we got trees infinitum. So let's get this tree, print it, put some pretty ink and pretty art on it, and assign it a denomination, a value, even though it has no intrinsic value whatsoever. And we'll tell them what their resources are worth in our money scheme. And so we will give them what we think their stuff is worth. And if they buck up against us, we will sanction them. And that will make the paper that we give them worth nothing at all in our sight of everybody. And so now we have our money and the resources, and they have nothing. And so, and then the other scheme, they come up, hey, sell us this. We'll give you $40,000 for this. They give it to them. They take it back, refine it in Europe and America, and then sell it 100 times what they bought it for, keeping these people in poverty. There's a plague on the nations. Right? That's what colds and sicknesses and flus do to people. They set in on the people and rob them of their health and their wealth and their stamina. That's a plague on the people. Oh, man, I'm telling you. This is it here. They can't come. Listen to me. They're in such a condition financially. They're in such a condition politically. And now with the rise of military powers around the globe, specifically and especially the 88 man, they're in such a catch-22, that they know that we're living in a reset. It's something that I have an article. Maybe I'll get a chance to bring that article up. I hope it popped up on the Hiram's 1555 blog. But on the Hiram's 1555 blog, there's an article. I don't know if it's out right now or if it will come out. This U.S. guy, he talks about the situation of America. And Brother Rashid, I'll bring you in just a second. He talks about the financial situation of America, right? And he talks about China. And he says that time is on China's side, all right? That's what he says. Because he understands that America is saturated in debt. Her political system is imploding right in front of you. There's no agreement whatsoever. But this is part of the plague that would plague America for her dividing of the so-called American Negroes. She would suffer that too. God wanted to break her power to show her that as thou hast done, so shall it be done unto thee. And you are not an exception to the rule that God laid out. I'm going to bring in Rashid, and while Rashid is talking to you, I'm going to see if I can find that article real quick, because I want to, and then I'm going to go into some, maybe a couple clips, and then I'll read a few things off these other articles, okay? So give me a second. Let me bring in Rashid. I got to say unto you, Rashid, As-salamu alaykum. You there? Brother Rashid. Brother Rashid.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now. I hear you now. Hang up and call, try it again, because we can't hear you. The devil, see? This is how it goes. I'll try to bring him back in a minute. But, again, a devil had did a writing, and he talked about the time is on China's side. If you would bear with me for a minute, let me see if I can find it real quick. Just give me a second, okay? Because I want you to see exactly what he wrote. Let's see. Give me one second. I know I have it. I don't think it posted on the Hiram 1555 blog yet. Let me go to the Hiram 1555 blog and see if I can pull it up real quick. I might have to go into my dashboard. But I want you, you know what I'll do? I'll play a clip. I'll play an economic clip. Or I'll try to bring Brother Rashid back in a second. And while he's talking on whether the clip is playing, right, I'll try to go and find it. Because I want you to hear what they are saying. Stuff that I've been telling you for almost 12 years on air. Right? Almost 12 years on the air, I've been telling you these things. Now, see, this is how you find out whether somebody is right and worth their weight in what they say. You go back and you listen to them, the measure of their work throughout in its totality, right? So you have a log, a audio and video log on me for almost 12 years. Some of the stuff that is happening today, I was telling you to expect that. 10 years ago, 8 years ago, nobody before me, you had ever, never heard anybody talk about Libya and what was going to go down. You had some of you, I'm not talking about the brothers who I talked to behind closed doors. Some of you had never heard about what was going to happen in Syria or North Africa or the Middle East. Can you listen to this show? Because other people, they got it and they hid it. And some of them didn't understand it or believe it. But I believe what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, 100%. That's why I told it to you exactly the way it was told to me. And now you can point to the stuff, and you can see it. That's how you weigh a person's weight in truth. Okay, now let me try to bring Rashid back in, see if they'll allow him to say something. Brother Rashid, are you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I can hear you good now.
Okay, brother.
Go ahead.
I was reminded what you were saying about the viruses that affect the nation. I have a tape with Minister John Shabazz back in the 60s talking that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches for every physical law, there's a spiritual counterpart. Right?
That's right.
He says, like, muscular dystrophy, you know, is a disease that cannot control, you can't control your muscles or your joints. It might do anything at any time. And then the brother says, if that don't describe the so-called American Negro's mind, I give it up. It might do anything at any time.
Yeah.
But also I had another experience as you had with my brother Jimmy out here too. And we were getting some tapes up because we had a lot of tapes of Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We were going to Phoenix and get those tapes from Brother Reginald. And we found a place downtown Los Angeles where come to find out they were Muslims. And they were Iranian. And then Jimmy told them something because we were doing woodwork about the with the Ayatollahs, and the cat got mad at him. I said, Jimmy, why did you tell that guy anything? He could be an Iranian Jew. Come to find out he was one of the Shah's people.
Yeah.
You see?
Yep.
So you got to know who you're talking to at all times. And you got to look on these people like you said. You are the original man, not them. I go back to what Minister Malcolm was saying about that on that tape that he was teaching out here in Los Angeles in 62. 62 or 63, something like that. Anyway, he was saying that they had a the UN had commissioned two African countries were getting their independence in the 60s, that the African countries were mad at the Europe the way they had represented them in the UN and over the history. So they had to go and clarify some of that. And then they come across these two Muslim scholars in the 13th century who, Ali and another one, he traveled exclusively, they traveled exclusively throughout the known Muslim world in the 13th century. And they were just studying people. Now, the Muslim world goes from Morocco on the east, on the west of Africa, way over to the Philippines. And you have a whole swath of all different type of races, creeds, and colors, mixed up races. White nations up in Europe, Asian nation. You have all of it in there. And he said, out of all of the people that they studied, man of the Sudan, Sudan just means black. The black man of Africa were more concerned with justice than any other people on the planet. That the Amir won't stand for any wrongdoing. But the further away you get away from the original man, the more it's easy to see things your way and not see other people's point of view, you see? It's very easy to do that. If you are of a particular nation or whatever, you look on other people as not being human. They don't have rights. That is what is going on now. You see, brother?
Yeah, brother, I'm listening to you. I'm listening to you.
Oh, brother, I thought you know, the way they cut us off around here, I thought they'd cut us off. that's what you have today, brother. You know, most of the people, the way you got to go back to, as the messenger said, to get peace on the planet, you got to have one group of people who have not have not been thinned out, right? You go to different people. From one, he come from a black man. You like the messenger said, you take the characteristics have been changed. When he went to the grafting process, he thought one way. But when he went through the grafting process and they took things out of him to make him another man.
That's right.
Black man don't think like the brown man. Brown man don't think like the yellow man. Yellow man don't think like the white man.
That's right.
And the further away you get away from the black nation, the quick to anger these people are. They love to break blood and shed blood. Like the man you say, you never had the black man running around the planet Earth murdering off people, whole nations and whole continents. Even the Chinese and them didn't do that. But you wait until you get to that white man. He come over here and steal America, claim it that is his. North America and South America, right?
While you're on it, let me cut you off for a minute because it brought something to mind. That's just like Britain and France and the Dutch people and all these other. They got all these territories over here in the Caribbean and off the coast of South and Central America, talking about these are British territories or these are French territories or dependencies. Here it is, you half a world away. And you stole this land and you still trying to perpetrate the fraud like you have the inherent right to rule these territories that belong to places like Argentina and Venezuela and all of these other nations.
I was listening to a tape with Honorable Elijah Muhammad yesterday, Baltimore, 1960, and he was saying that what do the scriptures tell you? What do the Christian scriptures tell you about a city that's built upon blood? Right? Built upon raping, robbing, and murdering. Everything he got that he claimed, he murdered all people in there. And then you run around talking about you an American. If you're an American, that means you have to take all of what the Americans done. You have to own up to it. Who in the hell want to be an American after you done killed off a continent of people? The law of justice say you got to be dealt with, right? You must be dealt with. Back to what you were saying, they was talking about a few years ago, they had some land up in North Pole of Arctic, somewhere up there, and that ice has receded and had some land there that they hadn't seen, and then Russia and America claiming it.
Yeah.
That's mine. No, that's mine. That's mine. No, I'm not. As the man you say, none of the planet Earth belongs to him. He didn't. Did you make it? No. Were you in the creation of it? No.
That's right. And on that note, if y'all look, you can Google this, to show you how wicked America is, to show you how egotistical and narcissistic that America and the Western nations are. America has got together, I guess, 7 or 17 other white nations or whatever, and now they're talking about they're coming together so that they can divvy up the moon, so that they have rights to the moon. Nobody else, just them.
Wait a minute, brother. Wait a minute, brother. They had a devil who was selling plots on Mars. He had a certificate that as soon as you get to Mars, you got this petula land. He can't. I'm not telling you how to get there now. You get there on your own. But when you get there, you got a certificate that says it's yours.
Yeah. That's their mind. I rule and I dictate everything.
Isn't that what Yaqub told us? You have dominion over the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and over everything that walks and crawls on the earth. He was given dominion. But the catch is, he was given it by somebody. And now that somebody wants it back.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be cut off. I was talking with Brother Walter the other day, and he was telling me that out of all that's going on, the only one who can see a change in worlds is the followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Those that follow the, not one of these deviants, not the cat that went inside the sun at night or living on the moon wherever he is, or had a conference on Mars.
Yeah.
The followers can see what is going on. Everything the messenger told us is taking place. Now, when the messenger was talking and teaching you all of these things, the people who did not believe it, they threw it out of their minds, got rid of it, didn't teach their children, and so now the black man is lost. But if you would have kept the message of Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching, this pandemic, it wouldn't be nothing for you, because the message teaches that's in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
It teaches that the devil would put out a virus. It's in your Scripture. And then Allah would come behind him and put out another
virus. And put out another.
That could not cure.
Well,
that
that's
could
right.
not cure. Now, you see with the white man's pandemic or virus, it set down the whole entire white Australia, everybody locked up. Now, what's going to happen when that other virus comes down? That means nobody going to want to. The man said his virus, the Satan's virus, is going, you cannot cure, and it's going to kill off gobs of people. Now, what's going to take place? That means that your whole society is going to take place. I mean, not come out. I've had people who I work at were scared to come out of work for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So they think the virus is going to get them. What's going to happen when that second virus come out?
That's right.
Shut down the white society. Nothing is going to be, no food. Once again, told us everything that was going to take place. And the people that took the messenger's words as a lie, they're going to be the first one to sit and catch the punishment.
Yeah. Yes, sir. And for those of you who are listening to us, we're just giving you the truth of the time. You can accept it or you can reject it. But this is it. We are living in the reset. This white man is telling you this left and right. Brother Rashid, I'm going to mute you for a second. I'm going to bring you back in. But I'm going to mute you for a second. I'm going to read the headline of this little short little article. I found it. And then while you were talking, I was looking for it. That's why I was crying a little bit, because I was trying to watch the dashboard, watch the clipboard, watch the news scrolling across, and look for
As I said, brother, you know, they mute us and clip us off so fast. You never know if you're talking to yourself or the phone and clipped out.
They even do it on the Red Bill Diaries, too. They do it. But I'm going to mute you real quick, brother, and then I'll bring you back up. So, brothers and sisters who are listening, this is the headline. This is from Bloomberg.com, and it's from the market news. And the headline is Dalio, talking about Ray Dalio. Dalio says time is on China's side in power struggle with U.S. Hold up. What were we telling you that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to us, right? That yellow man of Asia, right, was made to chase down this American white man in everything that he once dominated in, right? Didn't we tell you that? Haven't we been consistent in that? Billionaire investor Ray Dalio says time is on China's side in power struggle with U.S. And it's written by Hema Parmer. And it says, Bridgewater Associates founder Ray Dalio said China has an advantage over the U.S. on a range of issues. Time is on China's side, and it's not on the United States side. Stop right there. Why? Why is it not on the United States? I thought that she was the exceptional nation. I thought that she was the wealthiest nation. I thought she was the most influential nation. I thought she was the most powerful nation on earth. How is it that time is on China's side and not on the United States side when the United States is the greatest military power on the face of the globe? How? I'm asking you this. I pose these questions to you because others don't. How is it that time is on China's side? Because prophecy states this. Because the yellow man will be used to weaken and help break the white man. So that black man could rise back. So the time is against America. This is not 20 years ago. I often say this. This is not 30 years ago. This is not 40 years ago. And why is the time not on America's side as we move closer and closer to the end of the, what? 60 to not exceed what? 70-year grace period given to them. Why? Do you think that this stuff is by accident? Huh? Let's go into it again. Time is on China's side and it's not on the United States side. For various developments, Dalio said Monday in a conversation with New York Times columnist Thomas Friedman at the Milken Institute Global Conference. What's going to be a difficult situation in the new administration is destiny is on the side of China growing and doing better probably. Now, brothers and sisters, don't get mad at me, please. Please don't get mad at me. Did he just say, destiny? Well, I've been telling you prophecy says this, right? Right? So, let's go back to something. According to the dictionary, destiny means the events that will necessarily happen to a particular person or thing in the future. It is similar to future, fate, fortune, doom, lot, portion, doom, nemesis, right? This is what one of the definitions is, right? So, let's go back and read that again. What's going to be a difficult situation in the new administration is destiny, right? How did China get this destiny, black man and black woman? God proclaimed it. A messenger pronounced it, and time is bringing it about. Is that not right? I'm asking you, is that not right? Destiny is on the side of China growing and doing better, probably. He noted how China's economy has rebounded faster during the pandemic than that of the U.S., and that the listing of hot companies on Chinese stock markets is attracting capital. He also said China's higher interest rates mean the nation is in a better position of not having to print money. In July, Dalio warned in a LinkedIn post that tensions between the U.S. and China could spiral into an armed conflict. Haven't we been telling y'all that? Huh? And when it does, if time is not on America's side and China has a destiny to rise, then who shall be victor and who shall be the loser? This confirms what we've been telling you for the longest. Okay? In July, Dalio warned in a LinkedIn post that tensions between the U.S. and China could spiral into an armed conflict, saying there's usually an economic war before a shooting war. Later that month, he said the two nations may find themselves ensnared in a capital war that could hurt the dollar. He reiterated those views on Monday. You're going to see the internationalization of the renminbi. He's talking about the Chinese yuan, which was intentionally not developed before because it is a threat to the American world order, Dalio said. Now, he says, this year has been a rough one for Westport, Connecticut. He's talking about his financial firm now. But we read what we needed to read. We read. Is that not in line with what we've been telling you on this show for almost 12 years? I'm asking you this. So if we point to articles that are just coming out by the rich billionaires, which are giving confirmation to things that we've said almost 12 years ago, the weight of what we're saying, you got to measure it now. You got to say, huh, it's something to that. And if it's something to what we're saying, then it has to be something to the man who taught us what we're saying. You understand? This is it. We are living in the reset. Whether you like it or not, things are changing. We're in a total and complete universal change. I hope you understand this. I hope you understand this. So I want you to listen to this clip real quick. I want you to quickly listen to this clip. And this is from, I believe this is from Gregory Mannarino. And I'm going to play part of it. And I want you to pay close attention to what he's saying about America and our stock market.
Okay, everybody, it's me, Gregory Mannarino. This is my post-market wrap-up on this Friday. Lovely, a lovely Friday. Seriously, we've got a lot to talk about here, and I hope I don't blow my stack off. I'm going to say that right now. So yeah, Friday, August 28th, 2020. So what's the story? I almost don't know where to begin. I guess we'll start off with the stock market. New record highs for the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ. The Dow Jones Industrial Average and the Russell 2000 are still laggards here, but I would expect new record highs in short order. But we'll talk more about that in just a moment. The reason why I'm kind of like a little zany right now and I'm worried that I'm going to blow my stack off, just about 40 minutes ago, 40 freaking minutes ago, we had Fed President James Bullard on CNBC Live. He was conversing with the very nice man, Steve Leisman. Let me explain to you something about Steve Leisman in case you don't know already, and I think most of you do. With regard to the Federal Reserve, Steve Leisman has his face so far up the rear end of the Federal Reserve that they have merged into one. They have become one. I think sincerely when Steve there gets a chance to interview a Fed president, he probably has to put on, like, I don't know, some kind of a device so he doesn't, you know, spray his shorts on the camera. It's out of control. So anyway, what am I getting at here? So this man, St. Louis Fed President James Bullard, said on live TV that the recession is over. The recession is over. Now, this can be taken several different ways. Does he mean that the recession is over and now we are in a depression? Because that's really the truth. Or does he mean the recession is over for the stock market, which is at new record highs? Because let's put this into perspective. We have tens of millions of people out of work here in the United States. 50% of small businesses are gone forever. They are not coming back. That says a lot to me. We have 41 million Americans right now fearful that they're going to be evicted. They cannot pay their bills. That's very sad to me. But according to, gets better than that. Not just Fed President James Bullard, but Larry Kudlow today also said very similar words here. We're out of recession. Do you buy that? Let's move a little further here. We understand, and this is no secret, our trade deficit and our fiscal deficits are exploding. I mean, exploding like we have never seen before in the history of our country. As a matter of fact, it gets better than that. Today, we just found out that the U.S. trade deficit skyrocketed almost another 12%. I think it was 11.9%, 11.7%. Now, I want you to keep this in mind as well. And I'm not putting down the beautiful president, okay? Beautiful. Our beautiful president said that tariffs, especially those that are on China, would narrow. It would help with the trade deficit. Actually, the polar opposite of that has occurred, and it's been going on. It's not just because of COVID-19. It's exploding. So, I mean, look, here's the deal. Anybody, and I mean anybody, who has an understanding of how tariffs work, that would be me, explain to you that this would never happen. I told you this would never happen and that these deficits would continue to explode. But no, of course, I got beat up. No, President Trump is smarter than you. He went to Wharton Business School, so he knows more than you, Greg. Duh. I guess not in this case, huh? No, it doesn't seem so. Anyway, so according to Fed President, what the hell's his name, Bullard and Larry Kudlow, recession is over. I really think they're joking with us. In other words, yeah, recession is over. We're in depression. We just got the largest drop with regard to GDP in history. Yeah, that can be blamed on this coronavirus fake scandemic that we are in here. But our economy we're dead. We have nothing going on here. And with regard to layoffs, more layoffs industry-wide are about to hit. Let's talk about that real quick. The airline industry, who already got one bailout, just yesterday is threatening if they don't get another bailout, they're going to lay off tens of thousands of more people. Does that sound like extortion to you? Are the American people being extorted here by the airline industry? How are people tolerating this? You know what? Because they don't say anything. They sit there and they expect the president to do something, Congress to do something. So you have to understand, the president and Congress, they do not work for you. The Democratic Party does not work for you. The Republican Party does not work for you. They work for Wall Street. Let's talk about Wall Street real quick, okay? New record highs for the stock market with an economy in collapse. We understand that. The Wall Street executives are expecting record high bonuses this year. Meanwhile, the American people here could not be worse off. We're literally in a depression. You have to understand that, and I think you do. With trade deficits and fiscal deficits, literally at nightmare proportions. Does that sound familiar to you? Well, it should. Anyway, so the takeaway here is very simple. The disconnect between what's happening here on Main Street and Wall Street will continue to get worse, all right, as that two-tier society is manifesting itself here. And I really don't feel like that's fair. To a large degree, because this is engineered. This is being done by design. The entire scandemic has been done by design. Kill the economy, make people suffer on a scale of that they have not seen in their entire lifetime. But meanwhile, Wall Street, the corporations, the Wall Street banks will reap windfall profits. Does that sound normal to you? Is this how you want to live your life? Is this how you want your children to live their life? If that's so, then just continue with the status quo. Then obviously you should just be thrilled and happy and I guess hope everything is going to change, although it won't. It's going to get much worse for you no matter what freak is sitting in the White House. It just happens to be one with a very strange complexion. If it happens to be someone else, let's say in a few months from now, it won't change either. I hope you understand that. All right, let's go back to these markets real quick. New record highs like I explained to you. The dollar got decimated. The dollar is going to continue to get decimated. Now, let me go back to the thing or the freak from the Federal Reserve, James Bullard. I want you to pay attention to what I'm about to say because these are his words. He said, the Federal Reserve can tolerate higher inflation for a long period of time. The Federal Reserve can tolerate higher inflation for a long period of time. What's missing from that statement? And why didn't Steve Leisman follow that up? See, what I would have said was, okay, so the Federal Reserve can tolerate higher inflation for a prolonged period of time. How are the American people going to deal with it, those that are already suffering? Are they going to be happy with higher inflation, Fed President Bullard? You see, Steve can't do that. And he also didn't follow up the comment about the recession is over. Why? Why do you think that happened or did not happen? Steve Leisman, maybe you, because I think you watch my blog, because we know a lot of the same people, Steve. Maybe they should turn you on to this and get your face maybe sucked out of the rear end of the Federal Reserve. But I know how much you want to climb in there. It's not just your face you want in there. You want your whole body in there. You really want to get in there deep. And I got it. I know that. But to me, it's revolting and it's disgusting. Let's cover a few more things here. Cryptocurrencies got their hype.
Man, it's just a young man, excuse me. He is teed off. I mean, he is upset, boy. He is popping corn, bro. He is mad. I tell you what, he is super mad. See, when you hear this coming out of their mouths, it should put a smile on your face. And he was talking about how the dollar was being hammered, right? I gotta go back to some for a minute. You brothers and sisters gotta excuse me. I was just listening to what he was saying. It was, to me, it was kind of hilarious. But back to that article I was reading about China. You know, the headline when Dalio says time is on the China side in a power struggle with the U.S. Down here where he says this, and I don't want to miss this. He says, all right, here we are. He noted how China's economy has rebounded faster during the pandemic than that of the U.S. and that the listing of hot companies on Chinese stock markets is attracting capital. He also said China's higher interest rates mean the nation is in a better position of not having to print money. In July, Dalio warned in a LinkedIn post that tensions between the U.S. and China could spiral into an armed conflict, saying there's usually an economic war before a shooting war. We say that all the time on here. Later that month, he said the two nations may find themselves ensnared in a capital war, bless you, that could hurt. You hear what Greg Mannarino says? The dollar will get hammered, right? This is what they noticed. So now I'm going to transition to another article. This is a CNBC article. I posted different variations of this article for the last week or so. Different variations, different sites had it in different variations, but it pretty much was the same article. And This article is from Goldman Sachs, one of the greatest financial beneficiaries of all of the bailouts that have been given to countries. Remember, Goldman Sachs was one of the key linchpins in the 2008 economic meltdown and all this. This is what they are saying concerning the dollar. And always remember that Bloomberg article with Dalio saying that time is on China's side and talking about how China has a destiny, right? Goldman Sachs says, bet against the dollar on blue wave prospects and vaccine outlook. And in one article, Goldman Sachs was talking about selling your dollar positions. But I'm going to read the first paragraph or so on this, which goes hand in hand with their other article when they were saying their position is to short the dollar and to sell it. They were telling everybody, sell the dollar. Pick up your yuan or your renminbis. But listen to what it says. Goldman Sachs analyst said they saw low odds for the most dollar positive outcome by the year end of the year. They named this as an electoral victory for President Trump combined with the meaningful delay to vaccine progress. Goldman Sachs has recommended short positions against the dollar, arguing that the risk arising from vaccine trials, they're trying to use the vaccine trials as a justification when they know that it's the debt, right? But if they say all of this stuff, it can cause a stampede out of the dollar, causing a total collapse. So what they're saying is Goldman Sachs has recommended short positions against the U.S. dollar, arguing that the risks arising from vaccine trials and the U.S. elections are skewed to the downside for the greenback. Right? So they're telling you to position yourself outside of the dollar. Did you ever think that you would hear this 15 or 20 years ago? This is what I'm asking you. These are companies that directly benefited from the influx of tax money and borrowed money out of the coffers of the lower and the middle income people, income people, and borrowing money from countries around the world. America printed money as a stopgap to their bankruptcy and gave it to them, right? On several occasions, on the books and off the books. And yet you hear them today saying, short the dollar. Why? Because they see something down the road that will bring the dollar to yield and to its heel. And what does that mean? See, you remember how I always tell you about connecting the dots? Because if you have a multitude of dots and you don't connect them, most times you don't get the bigger picture. So if the dollar is shorted, if the dollar gets hammered, if the renminbi is being internationalized, and you have heard from several investors that say they believe that the Chinese government has between 20 and 40,000 tons of gold that is not reported, including thousands of tons of silver that is not being reported, right? And you have these companies that are saying short the dollar. What do they see? Remember, if the dollar collapses, and it will, the inflation that America had exported around the globe will come back home as a tsunami, and it will make the 1930s look like child's play. And if this happens, and it will, what do you think happens to America's political clout globally? And how will she be able to finance? Not no 800 basis, not no 900 basis, not near 1,000 basis. You heard on one of my shows a few years ago where we directly read from a script from the Congress that was given by some of the military people from the Pentagon, which they stated when you include all of the logistical centers and training centers that America has over 5,000 bases around the globe that gets missed in all of this. Over 5,000. What happens to those bases? What happens to her being able to fund her nuclear programs? What happens to her with all of her weapons research? What happens to these things? Because if you have no dollar to fund it, the empire implodes, and America's influence recedes, and America must pack up and come home because she can't fund her wars. She won't be able to fund her bases, her destabilization programs. She won't be able to fund her drone bombing programs. She won't be able to stay on this border and that border, causing instability and disillusionment. If the dollar falls, and when the dollar falls, because it will, these are the ramifications, right? Which leads to what? The fall of America. And why does it happen? Because we have a savior that has arrived. And he has given to us a clear message to the black man and woman of America. I don't think you get this. There's a connection here, the dots. This is it. We are most definitely living in the reset. And even Stevie Wonder can see it. I'm telling you these things. So let's go further. And I'll bring Brother Rashid back in just a second. Brother Rashid, raise your hand a second. As a matter of fact, if you raise your hand right now, I'll bring you in right before I hit this other clip, okay? Because I saw that you took your hand down for a minute, but if you raise your hand right now, I'll bring you right back in to let you comment before I play the clip. There we go. I'm going to bring the brother back in. You brothers and sisters, remember that this is it. We are living in a total reset. Rashid is getting ready to come on, but as I bring him on, I want to go back to something real quick, okay? Reverend Manolino talked about the Fed chair talking about we have left the recession. And then Greg made reference to, yeah, because we entered the depression. Well, the word that they like to steer away from is depression. In all of the media outlets, they always talk about the recession. But according to the dictionary, a recession is a decline in economic activity spread across the economy that lasts more than a few months. That's it. A depression is a more extreme economic downturn, right? And so when we look at that, and it lasts, it starts and lasts over years. So what happened in 2008? Where are we now? We are in 2020. Is this not a depression? I'm asking you these things because we're looking at their definitions, and we're looking at their words and their writings. Huh? So keep that on your brain. Let me bring in Brother Rashid. Hey, Brother Salaam Alaikum.
Salaam Alaikum, Brother. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you very well. Hey.
Brother, I didn't take my hand down. I was thrown off of you.
I digress.
Brother, getting back to what you were talking about, a depression. But no, what is coming is not a depression. It's a total collapse.
That's right.
Complete collapse of his power around the globe to do anything. Now, I'm out here where they're bringing in these ships and stuff on the West Coast. But what the men say when that happens, they're going to boycott him and not send him one suitcase full of anything. Nothing is going to come in. People don't understand what's getting ready to take place. The world that you know is going to soon be no more. You don't have no Walmarts and no JCPenney's and no Nordstrom. It's all finna collapse.
That's right.
Like I was listening to the messenger on that Baltimore tape, and he was talking about how Allah destroys civilization. He destroys them. He was talking about before the moon was, it was trillions of years of history. Before the moon was blown off, before that nut came along. And he said, before the moon came along, he goes on and talks about that our family was the first tribe, our family, to find the holy city of Mecca and discover that that was the best part of the planet at that time. Before that, the moon was the best part of the planet. So anyway, he goes on and teaches that before... after the deportation of the moon, the holy city of Mecca was, and in some place in the holy city of Mecca, there is a room or or a library or whatever, and that the history that was went on so many thousand years before the moon was, it was placed in the book in this room. And that only 12 men, 12 major scientists can go in and read what their civilizations were. They have been removed, and no one will ever know they ever existed except these 12 men. Well, this is what's getting ready to take place with America.
That's right.
They get removed, and no one will, would the men you say 20 years after you leave America, you won't even know that America ever existed. It'll be just like those trillions of years before the moon was blown off. Only a certain, and the message say only a certain, these 12 men can go in there and read up their history. And then he goes on and tells you why, how Allah destroys this mission. He takes down their library. He corrupts their educational system, brings it. And isn't that what's happening to America?
All over the country.
It is being brought down one step by step. And just like a man with cancer. He
you know
that he had cancer. He feel a little pain in the side, maybe once or twice. Next month, another again. Then by the time if he don't get it taken care of, by the time he realizes his whole body has been destroyed. Well, this is what happened with America. Her body is being destroyed bit by the Lord of the world, and her arrogance and her hubris cannot. But have you ever seen this devil, Conor McGregor? When at one of his fights,
could you say that again?
Can you hear me?
Could you say that part again?
Conor McGregor at one of his fights, MMA fight.
Oh yeah, McGregor,
Is the very definition of arrogance and hubris. He prates around like a peacock. Boy, he is arrogant. And that's Oh, how I'm the greatest. We are the richest country on the planet. How the hell can you be the richest country when you own more money than anybody on the planet? Me. He only thing he's concerned with is all important.
Yeah.
But when like you were saying, when Allah takes him down, he is going to be, what the scriptures say, they will, the other nations around the world will remember her of her delicious trade that she once had, and only thing she can remember and see of that once mighty nation is the fires from her burning up to the heaven. That's it. Before I go right fast, I don't want to take up all your time, brother. As you were talking about China, Moon of Alabama got out a article they put out yesterday, and he was saying about the war going on with China, and he was saying that China don't start wars. Why should they start a war when they're winning?
Yeah.
He said everything, you cannot economically, what do you call it? Like what we said before, he's an economic behemoth. How in the world can you stop something like that? You got 1.5 billion people working in unison with one another. They work together. When China tells his people to stay in a house, what they had with the coronavirus, 750 million people they said stayed in. In America, it's only 300, they say 330 million. China told 750 million people to stay inside, and they did. You didn't have nobody talking about this, my rights, I'm going to get my gun, my constitution. Didn't say one word. But over here with these devils over here, man, these hillbillies, these Joe lunch buckets, my God, that's against my rights. I don't stand for that stuff.
Yeah.
I'll take over the gully, which that's also coming. With the woman trying to take over the, Michigan government?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was reading that the other day, the man said everybody gonna try to take it over and get something the way they wanna have on the way they feel.
Oh, that's right. Mother playing. That's mother playing,
right.
All day long.
That's
why off people didn't understand why I read that so much to them, because I saw it coming. I saw this in the making with the bubbling up of tensions between black and white, the great and greater wealth divide, and the arrogance of these people when Donald Trump gets in the office. So I saw when the messenger talked about. Matter of fact, brother, I'm gonna read a piece of it. Brothers and sisters who are here, I have some things I have to do, but guess what? I'm gonna push you to the side, and we're gonna go over a little time because I want to play a couple clips. I want to talk to Brother Rashid a little bit, and I want to read it, brother. I'm not gonna even mute you. I just want you to hold on and listen. So this is what the messenger said when he talked about this situation. All right. So for those of you who may be mad, listen closer to what he says. What can we expect at the end of the war? Paradise or hell? See Bible, Daniel 9, 26 and 27. And at the end of the war, desolations are determined, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. This is like saying, do not expect healing ointment to be poured on the sore that has been made. You will not get healing ointment. Instead, you will get a worse sore. With trying to find a job for the unemployed soldiers who are returning from the war zone if they have a chance to return. This will be one of the worst headaches for the government that she has ever received. With unemployment mounting so fast, remember we see this right now, it's happening right now. With unemployment mounting so fast, it will create revolution. What you see in the streets, protesting in the Antifa and the so-called Proud Boys, and everybody will want to divide the government up into pieces, and every leader will want to grab a piece for his part to try to muster some kind of government pattern after his own way of thinking. Then they just try to kidnap the Michigan governor. Desolation. If we are going to suffer deprivation in a country that has been deprived of the nations, this will make it altogether worse. For everybody will be thinking about the way that they used to live. Remember what he said, our freedoms that we used to have, the things that we were able to do once before. Right? That's what Rashid said, right? Is that not right? Rashid was just saying this to you all. He says, desolations. If we are going to suffer deprivation in a country that has been the pride of the nations, this will make it altogether worse. For everybody will be thinking about the way that they used to live, and the freedom and the privileges that they used to have. And this will make anger rise up in the midst. What Rashid was just saying to you, my rights, what I used to have, my rights, that's what they were saying, right? Brother, this is what you were talking about right here in an article that was published October 3rd, 1973, article number 3, and it's called The End of the War. That's what you were talking about, Rashid.
Now, what we are saying is this comes after the War of Armageddon. The War of Armageddon is to break the American military. She got a stranglehold on the planet Earth. You know, she can go in there and slap a Guatemala down, a Nicaragua, slap them down and make them submit to her will. Right?
Right.
But she won't be able to do that at that time. It's going to break her down. And when she comes back, after that war in Europe comes back, then that's when that exactly what the messenger was talking about. They want to, this guy made us lose all of our prestige. And look at us now, and everybody laughing at us, and they're going to turn on the politicians. And then everybody going to want to set up a government on their own. All 50 states, I want to succeed. Everybody going to start succeeding all over the place. It is the breakup of America. He's gonna get what he gave everybody else. It's gonna be a terrible time, brother. Man, you say don't.
But it's gonna be a beautiful time for us.
That's right. You're gonna see a lot of people that whom you love caught up into this. You got people who have no. The leadership of the black man is as dead and as stinking as a doughnut. You got the so-called American Negro talking about voting and just wasn't that, if I'm not mistaken, Frederick Douglass was talking about?
Go ahead, black man.
Isn't that the definition of the sanity? trying the same whole thing, getting the same result.
Martin
Luther King, that's 60, 70 years ago. Still talking about it today, right?
Then you
come up with the mess of Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and all. Well, they're the old bootlickers. But I'm saying you got the new crop of Negro leaders saying the same thing that Frederick Douglass said 100 and something years ago. And still, you cannot get it in their mind that we need to take a different choice to make something happen in the benefit of our people.
You know, brother, I'm gonna come in and I'm gonna say this to you. A big problem with that is because they don't see the white man. See, they don't see his civilization falling. They can't see that he won't forever be in power. They just be a part of that power structure.
Yeah, well, what you have is that's what the wisdom of Allah gives. A lot of these so-called, as you used to call, so-called followers of the messenger. That's their problem, because they're not being guided by Allah. Allah is the one that guides us.
That's right.
Not you and yourself, you know, and like my mentor used to tell me, the messenger left everybody with the same wisdom. The messenger said he was going to get the two books. Show me any wisdom that these guys have independent of the messenger left. Now, going inside the sun at night, now, that's some new teaching.
Brothers and sisters, listen, we're going to extend the show a few minutes because I do want to get to a few clips. Also, I want to say this while we're talking. Check me and Brother Rashid out tonight on the Red Pill Diaries. I don't know whether we're going to do this and stream it on Periscope, Twitch, and YouTube and Facebook. I don't know yet, or if it's just going to be a thank you and let our premium members on Patreon get it first and then put the video out thereafter. But I'm contemplating it. I just want to show appreciation for those who are Patreon members and those who are premium members on the Hiram 1555 blog. All of you will get links if we do it like that. But if not, you'll get first access to it too. But go ahead, brother. Finish saying what you were saying.
No, yeah, well, this is what the messenger's teaching gives you an edge to see what's taking place. I often say, like Prophet Muhammad, and then I'm going to let you go and do your continue on with the show. Prophet Muhammad, 1,500 years ago, what Allah taught him was right and accurate. He's like a man in a valley on the top of a mountain and seeing a car and in a valley ride, and you can, with a binocular, you can see wherever the car is going. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad puts you right next door to the, right in the seat next to the man who's driving the car. You know exactly what he's going to do because you're looking at it. And that's the difference between Prophet Muhammad and the messenger. The messenger comes in the time of the God of the resurrection, the one who is doing what Prophet Muhammad prophesied will come. And just because he was a black man, he was a so-called American Negro, everybody want to relegate him to nothinghood. But he was the last messenger of Allah. What did the man say? After me comes God and angels. There's no one coming after me to teach you nothing. But after me comes, God will send his executors to execute on the ungodly. So if you're looking for somebody that went inside the sun at night, or held a conference on Mars, a cue ball, or wherever it is, whatever it is, you are in a bad position. You are doomed. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam. Good teaching, my brother. Now, this is it, brothers and sisters. I don't care. I've explained to you. We've read articles. We've done all of this stuff. But I want you to hear something, and I'm going to play a few clips. And the clips together that I'm going to play won't be 10 minutes, okay? All right? They won't be 10 minutes altogether. But I want you to hear the frustration in these people. You see how I played Gregory Mannarino and the frustration in him, right? I want you to hear Mr. Gerald Celente. And I was listening to an interview he gave a few days, a day ago or so. And so I immediately went back and looked at the video, and I said, let me download this, and I'll listen to it thoroughly, and then I'll cut it up because I want to share it with the people. Sometimes I want you to listen to words, but then sometimes I want you to listen to how the words are being conveyed. and listen to the frustration in the voice. Listen to the disappointment in the voice. Listen to the outrage, because they know that the system is at its end. So I'm trying to get you to understand that this is it. You're in one moment of time that will be remembered forever. And this is the change of the world. We are living in the reset. I want you to listen closely. This is a five-minute clip. And when he's asked, when Jefferson Linton is asked, he said, they're killing us. Talking about the government. He's talking about the system. They're killing us. I want you to pay close attention to this, all right?
An October surprise awaits. That's what my guest today is alarming and letting us know. He is Gerald Celente, editor and publisher of the Trends Journal. Gerald, I'm really happy to see you. Welcome to the show.
No, it's great being on with you. It's one of my favorite hosts.
Thank you.
Of course,
You're one of my favorite people to interview, even though people are always saying, are you guys really arguing? And I tell them, no, we like to, you know, what's the saying, agree to disagree, or we get along, you know, even though we might have differing points of view on certain topics. But I'm always open to learning from you, Gerald, and getting your point of view on things. So October surprise, that is the theme, a very scary theme with a jack-o'-lantern you have here on your October edition. They're killing us. Explain that. Who is they and how are they killing us, Gerald?
They are the politicians, and they're killing us in so many different ways. Look at the numbers coming out. And again, we only put the facts in the Trends Journal, and then we give our analysis of it. And the motto of the magazine is think for yourself. We don't tell anybody what to think. As my father used to say to me, rest in peace, and I'd repeat what everybody else was saying. He'd say, Papagallo, stop repeating what everybody else is saying and think for yourself. And when I say think for yourself, look around you. Could you imagine being a young kid going to kindergarten and you're wearing a mask and you're getting your temperature taken? And then being a young person, well, you got that, you know, craziness running through your bones, and you want to go out and play and have a good time. No, you get back in your dormitory. No, no, no parties. No, no, no getting together. You're not going to a bar. You're not going to go out with friends. No dancing, no hugging. Hey, how about that woman that's the health minister over there in California? And no kissing. They're destroying our lives in so many different ways. They're robbing us of our joy, of liberty, life, beauty, and fun. And they've destroyed the global economy. This is unprecedented in world history. How can anybody imagine that you're locking down all these places, and you see the numbers coming out. Oh, Yelp comes out and says, oh, only 60% of the businesses aren't going to reopen. And then you look at the numbers. Oh, international air travel? Oh, it's only down 85%, but it'll come back. And this is insanity. And it's across the globe. And what are governments doing? You're locking down again. Cases are going up. Yeah, cases are going up, but the death levels are low. We don't care about that. We got the cases. Yeah, what's the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention? Oh, yeah, they say that between the ages of 1 and 50, your chances of recovery from the virus, the case, it's only 99.8% recovery rate. And again, we look at the people that are dying, and you and I talked about this when it first happened in Italy. The average age was 80 years old. But they locked down global economies. They've destroyed so many businesses. This is unprecedented. They're killing us in so many different ways. And, you know, freedom is just another word for something left to lose.
And I think you're expressing the frustrations of many, Gerald. On the flip side, you know, people would argue, well, no, they're not killing us. They're trying. And I know you're going to have a response to this, but they see it as they're trying to save us, hence the masks, hence the restrictions. They're saving lives.
And I would say to them, okay, go back and listen to that guy Fauci. What do they call Fauci in Italian? The jaw? Yeah, the one, the jaw. Go back to March when he say, no, you don't have to wear masks. No. Go back to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Go
all
back
right.
to World Health Organization. Go back to New England Journal of Medicine. Go back after one study, after another study, after another study, after another study, that the masks the people are wearing are totally ineffective.
Gerald, go ahead, continue.
And the other one is, what I keep trying to tell people is that, who are they? They are politicians. And these are the same they who gave me as a kid and my generation the protection of, in case an atom bomb goes off. In school, they had us hiding under our desks. So, okay, an atom bomb goes off, that desk saves your life. They're doing the same thing with these restrictions that they're giving us. They lack scientific data, and as the shows from other countries that didn't lock down, such as Belarus, Sweden, and others, lockdown, no lockdown, you see the numbers.
So what was your...
Desolation. If we are going to suffer deprivation in a country that has been the pride of the nations, this will make it altogether worse. For everybody will be thinking about the way that they used to live and the freedom and the privileges that they used to have. And this will make anger rise up in the midst. Do you see the anger rising up? Do you see them reflecting on the so-called freedoms that they used to have and the privileges that they used to have? And they are reflecting in a moment where everything has been ripped from them the same way they ripped it from you? Huh? He used the word unprecedented twice. He said this is unprecedented. According to the dictionary, the word unprecedented is an adjective. It means never done or known before. Unparalleled, unequal, unmatched, and unrivaled. So he's saying the policies that they've enacted have never been done before. And then he used this word to sum it all up. He said, this is insanity. According to the dictionary, the word insanity means it's a noun. It is the state of being seriously mentally ill, stricken with madness, extreme foolishness, or irrationality. So, when we're talking about him saying they, he's talking about the political and the power structure. And we must realize that the political and the power structure is a microcosm of the people whom they govern. You get me? So as we connect the dots, the picture is coming into view. It's coming into focus, isn't it? You know I'm telling you the truth. This is it. We are definitely, definitely living in the reset. Let's go to this next clip. This is about a three-minute clip. I told you, just give me about 10 minutes, and all I need, and we're into the sixth minute of it. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to hold you much longer. I just got to get these clips to get you to understand their mindset, what they see, the frustration, the anger, and the feeling of betrayal from the government. All right? This is what he says. So he says, a crash is coming. And he talks about how the system is rigged. We've been telling you that for the longest. But listen.
Hey, vitamin D, go outside. No, you're not going to go outside. Get back inside.
Gerald. Okay, let's talk money, let's talk the stock market, and let's talk how we can protect ourselves here, because you're concerned for the stock market. You've been saying for a long time that a crash is coming.
Yep.
A lot of your critics would say, hey, Gerald, you've been saying this for a long time. What's different this time around? Why is it worse now?
Well, I've been saying it a long time, and it hasn't happened because in graduate school, they never taught me or Economics 101 about negative and zero interest rate policy, quantitative easing, and buying up corporate junk bonds. So as we all know, and the people that are listening all know, that the game is rigged. It's totally rigged in front of our eyes. Oh, you remember the repo market thing a year ago back in September? Oh, yeah, what was it? What were they doing? Only $7 trillion they dumped in between September and January of of 2019? Right. Yeah. So what's different this time? The other big difference this time is I mentioned about how economy after economy, government after government, they've locked down. What's keeping it up? All the cheap money they're dumping into the system, the negative and zero interest rate policy. So why would anybody, to me, and I'm only speaking for myself, I don't give financial advice, why would they want this digital trash backed by nothing and printed on nothing when they just keep printing more and more of it? So let's go to the United States. Go back to January. Daniela, we're going to have a $1 trillion trade deficit this year. Wow, a $1 trillion. And now what is it going to be? Only $3 trillion because they pumped more money in. And now they're coming up with a new deal. You're going to see another trillion or two or three dumped back in. So this is devaluing all the currencies around the world except one, and that is the Chinese, the yuan. Because what China's doing, and they're calling it a dual circulation, they know, the Chinese, that the global trade isn't going to be near what it used to be. So they're building up the internal economy, making it more self-sustaining. They got 1.4 billion people. We keep doing business with each other. 1.4 billion people will keep this thing going.
But why would the U.S. risk that, Gerald? Why would they risk losing their reserve currency status of the world?
Because they have no other choice. The economy, the people are broke. What's keeping retail sales up? You know the numbers. People were getting more money with that $600 a week than they were making the jobs they had. They know that they have to artificially prop this up. It's every country's doing it. Every country is doing it. France, Italy, the whole European Union, one country after another, India, South Africa just went a couple of months or so ago, borrowed more money from the IMF. One after another. They're doing this artificially because when people lose everything and have nothing left to lose, they lose it. And you're seeing violence going up.
They
want to keep it quiet, and money will do it.
Now, before we go into the next clip, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in the most profound lecture ever given, now this is what white scholars said, white people who listened to it, they said the theology of time was the most profound and in-depth lecture ever given by any man. This is what they said. That was given over a multitude of weeks. That lecture was not a one-day lecture. It was done over a multitude of weeks and months. And it was titled The Theology of Time because the messenger went into the depths of all things. And in this Theology of Time lecture, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that the Chinaman and the Asian man would look within themselves and start doing trade within themselves. Then Mr. Gerald Celente just say that? That the Chinese are now building a two-tier economy. They know trade is not going to return like it used to. So now they're building within themselves and looking to themselves. Right? Muhammad said that this was going to happen in the fall of America. I'm trying to give you something. You know I prove Elijah Muhammad's teachings. You know I do, by the grace of God. Because it's so easy to do. Now, with that said, as we look at this, he said there's all of the currencies are falling except for one, the Chinese renminbi. Remember when everybody was talking about China's economy is going to collapse, and I kept telling y'all, I said, listen, China has a lot of debt. China has a lot of gold, too. China has a lot of silver, and they are missing that point when they are talking about the debt level. And also, the first law of nature is self-preservation. If I have debt, and my debt is nowhere near the debt I hold of you, when my debt is called, I'm going to call your debt so that you don't have to pay my debt. And I told you, I've been telling y'all that. You know I'm telling you the truth. I've been telling you that for years, right? Mr. Gerald Celente is finally seeing the light of what I've been saying to you all. And he says, all of the currencies are falling except the yuan. And the Chinese economy is rebounding. Why? Because they're looking within themselves, just like Elijah Muhammad told you they were going to do in this time. the exact same thing Elijah Muhammad told you. Tell me I'm lying. I'll point it to you and tell you the truth. All right? So, are you going to get on board and accept the truth, or are you going to still straddle the fence? All right? I want you to listen to this next one. This is about a minute and 30 seconds, 20 seconds, and I think they're talking about some of the things that they're watching for. I'm playing this clip because I want to play this clip right before I play the last clip, which is about 53 seconds, because the last clip is something that I want you to really hear. This is just a precursor to it, okay? You know how I always do. I always put things into context. I don't like to take anything out of context. I want you to pay close attention to this clip here.
So things to watch of a coming stock market collapse so people can be prepared. So, you know, a second wave of the virus, prolonged labor market weakness, inadequate stimulus, market dynamics, high valuations, heavy concentration, political uncertainty. Have I covered all the bases?
You got it. I mean, it's right in front of everybody's eyes. It's right. Why the hell are the equity markets going up when you have an economic crisis like this going on? Every major country is going to have a negative GDP this year. Oh, except one, China. You're looking at about 2.5. You know, as I said, the 20th century was the American century. The 21st century is going to be the Chinese century. And I don't say that in a very happy way. The business of China is business. The business of America has been war. China is doing everything they can now to boost up their economy. And so you nailed it when you put all those pieces together. How the hell is the stock market going up? How can cruise ships, cruise lines, airlines, oh, the stocks went up today because they're looking at a new vaccine that, what am I, 6 years old? Who are you kidding me with this crap?
So, you hear what he's saying? He doesn't even believe this stuff. They understand what's coming. The markets will crash. We're in a depression. The dollar is declining. America's influence and power is receding. Her wealth is being destroyed. Her industrial base has collapsed completely. She has no manufacturing. She produces nothing but war and dollars and movies. That's it. And now the nations are pushing that away because they understand that Western movement is just propaganda to promote and maintain Western dominance and a Western way of thinking. You understand? So, in closing, and I'm not going off that yet, I just got to play this last clip, and we're going to close with something so pertinent. I want you to pay close attention to this 53-second clip because Mr. Joe Salente is telling you what they see coming, okay? Pay close attention.
Answer to this, but we can philosophize of how does this end? Do we just go, does the whole system just erode, blow up, and we have to restart from scratch? I mean, how does this play out? How does it end, Gerald? Where do we go from here?
If it stays locked down, it's going to be hell on earth. Look at the businesses going out of business. You put your whole life into your business, a bar, a retail shop, whatever it might, a florist, and it's gone. It's gone. So the bigs are going to get bigger. Oh, the numbers just came out again today. The billionaires got richer.
Right.
The billionaires got richer. The bigs got bigger. That's what's going to happen. We all become plantation workers on the global plantation of Slavelandia.
Gerald, when was the answer to this, but we can philosophize of how does this end? Do we just go, does the whole system just erode, blow up, and we have to restart from scratch? I mean, how does this play out? How does it end, Gerald? Where do we go from here?
If it stays locked down, it's going to be hell on earth. Look at the...
What I am trying to show you is that the prophet Daniel cannot be wrong. Because this desolation that is determined to be poured on the most desolate is aimed at the place in which we now live. And just remember, just in case all of you forgot, and just remember that you cannot expect paradise here when such condition of desolation is headed toward America. And since we cannot make prophets' words other than the truth, We expect this desolation, and we are receiving this desolation now. Chapter closed. We have proven to you that we're in a time unlike any time before. This is it. We are living in the reset. Mama, I know you're listening to the show. Get the coffee ready. Your son is on his way over there. I want all of you all to go and help our sponsors, Ibachi. That's Ibachi. That's I-B-O-A-C-C-I. Independent Black-owned apparel clothing company international. Go to the Health Blaze at thehealthblaze.com, right? And support black business. Also, go to the Patreon, patreon.com/theredpillDiaries, and sign up. And also go read some articles at the Hiram's 1555 blog and subscribe to the YouTube page, all one word, The Red Pill Diaries. Brothers and sisters, with an undying love and passion for you all, listen to me good. I love y'all so much that I give most of my time to you all when I can be with my family. But I know the time. I know what's going on. And it's a duty. It's an obligation. It's a love and it's a passion. And I readily and willingly give my all so that you can receive what God so mercifully blessed me with, an understanding of the time and what is happening and what must be done, with an undying love and passion for you all. Remember that I love you, but my God and his messenger, shoot, I'm telling you right here, right now, regardless of how you may look at it, they will always love you best. Now, I see Rashid hand up, so I'm going to let Rashid say something before we go off the air. Brother Rashid, go ahead.
Brother, it's messing with the phones again. I didn't put my hand up, but you're right, brother. We're in a time like none ever that we've ever, what the menu said, when you see things happening that you've never seen before on the radio and on your television, that you've never heard of and you've never seen it, this lets you know a change of world is taking place. When have you ever, with Donald Trump saying he ain't going to get out of office, even if you don't, the only way that the election is legitimate is if he wins. If he loses, it's illegitimate. And I'm throwing him into the Supreme Court. And then all of the people in the Supreme Court go back. Can't you see that this thing is rigged? The menu said at the end of America, a dictatorship would be ruling America.
That's right.
Isn't that what you see? All of the distractors of the messenger hollering about he was wrong, he didn't know what he was talking about, didn't understand, as the messenger said, you got to teach you the workings of God. God is not on 105th Street waving a wand, making miracles. He don't twiddle his toes and make things disappear and come in and come out. It is a time process that he set things in motion, and over 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, 90, 100, wherever it takes, and we said. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And on that note, as we say in the streets, mic drop. We out.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day. That I like the moon I made.